Welcome to the In Touch podcast with Charles Stanley for Monday, September 2nd. Do you have trouble controlling your anger? Believers don't have to give in to the temptation to vent frustration. Stay with us for practical instruction on gaining victory over anger.
Are you an angry person? Do you live in an angry family? Do you work around angry people? Would you consider your boss being angry? Or maybe some of your friends? Or maybe you even go to a church where the pastor's angry? In other words, where does anger fit in your life? It's a destructive emotion. And I want us to look to see what the Word of God says about it. And also, how do you overcome it? Because all of us have been angry at times in our life. And maybe all of us have, at some degree, or most of us have lived in a circumstance where anger was very prevalent. And if you go back to Proverbs chapter 22 and look at what the Scripture says here so clearly in this 22nd chapter, look, if you will, in the 24th verse. This is what God says about anger and about the angry person. He says, "Do not associate with a man given to anger, or go with a hot-tempered man, or you will learn his ways and find a snare for yourself." You know what happens? Anger creates anger. Now watch this. Anger can be passed on from generation to generation. When somebody grows up in an angry family, and that's the environment in which they grow up in, it's very easy for them to repeat it. The same thing is true, for example, in alcoholism. When a person, and I've seen this over and over and over again, when a person grows up in an alcoholic family, and it's amazing to me with all the pain and the suffering and the heartache that they experience, that daughter will oftentimes go out and marry an alcoholic. It's the environment which she came from. That's the environment she grew up in. But notice what he says in this passage. Don't even associate with a man given to anger, or go with a hot-tempered man. Now, if you are not married and you are dating somebody, mark that one down. Don't go with a hot-tempered man. He may be handsome. He may drive the finest automobile. He may have lots of money. But if he's hot-tempered, he's dangerous. And notice what he says. Don't go with one. It's amazing to me that people listen and read the Word of God, go right out and do the opposite and say, "Well, but he's different." Everybody's different. Listen to this. "Or you will learn his ways and find a snare for yourself." That's a very specific, clear warning of the Word of God not to relate, not to get involved with an angry person. Because it's a disaster waiting to happen. Because they just transfer it. Now, I want us to look at this passage, and I want us to notice here how clear the Bible is about those things that go along with anger: bitterness, clamor, all of these things that go along with it. So I want to give you a definition of anger. I could define it much shorter, but I want to give you a long one because it tells you what anger is all about. Look at this. It is a strong feeling of intense displeasure. Somebody's unhappy. Hostility, indignation as a result, watch this now, of a real or an imagined threat. It doesn't even have to be real. Insult, frustration, or injustice toward yourself or others important to you. Look at that. A strong, intense feeling of displeasure, hostility, indignation as a result of a real or maybe an imagined thing that you heard, is something that you heard about yourself, a threat, or is an insult, frustration, or injustice toward yourself or others important to you. That's what anger is all about. That's why it is absolutely so disastrous. And when a person says, "Well, you know, I'm angry, but I'm not hurting anybody but myself." Oh, yes, you are. Now, so how do we deal with it? I'm going to give you a list of 9 ways to deal with it. Because all of them are important. The first one is this. You got to identify it. You want to get rid of anger because you see somebody, you may be sitting ahead and saying, "I know I'm angry. I feel angry. But I don't know why." Then you have to identify it. If you're going to deal with it, you've got to identify it. Ask yourself the question, What is the source of my anger? In other words, do I look at my family and say, it's my husband, my wife, my children? Is it my finances? Is it my job? Or, watch this, is it something that happened back yon in the past that I've never dealt with? You were hurt back there. Maybe you were younger. Maybe it was in your marriage. But somewhere back yon in the past, you were deeply hurt. You didn't deal with it. And that's been seething there all along. So if you're going to deal with anger, you have to be willing to look back. Look around, but look back and ask yourself the question, what is it that I'm angry about? Am I angry at God? Well, let me ask you a question. How foolish is it to be angry with God? You know, He could snap you out just like that. You're angry at God, who sent His Son to the cross to die for your sins, who keeps your heart beating every day. Every good thing that comes your way is from Him, and even some of the bad things that come your way, He turns them to good, and you're angry at God? You have to identify who and what is it that I'm angry. Am I angry against some institution? It doesn't make a difference what it is. You have to identify it. What is it I'm angry about? Secondly, you have to be willing to confess it. That is, yes, I am angry. I'm not going to stuff it any longer. Not going to deny it any longer. Not going to push it aside. Not going to cover it up. I'm going to be willing to acknowledge it. And in the process, ask yourself the question, why am I angry? Why am I angry? Whatever the reason is, why am I still angry? I'm the one paying the price. Why am I still angry? The third thing is this. Clarify your feelings. In other words, what am I feeling in this anger? I admit that I am. Ask myself the question, why am I angry? So what are my feelings in this? Clarify. Is it that I feel hurt? Do I feel rejected? You may say all these things. Do I fear getting involved in something that I think I should? Am I angry about that? Why don't I have the capacity to do these things? Do I have needs that are unmet? If you're going to overcome anger, purposely deal with it quickly. If you get angry at somebody and say, well, I'm going to sleep on it. Remember what I've said, and I've said it on purpose. You're not going to sleep with it. It's going on the inside. You're going to wake up with it. And so that's not the way to get rid of it. Deal with it quickly. How? Well, first of all, just what we said, identify it, confess it, clarify your feelings. What's this all about? If you feel, watch this, and this is a terrible feeling somebody has. If you feel angry and you don't know what it is, that's just frustration. That creates anxiety. That creates a hostile feeling in your own heart. You're angry with yourself, bitter with yourself. Why am I this way? What's going on in my life? And so when you start getting honest, you have to be totally honest. And so if I'm going to deal with it, I need to deal with it. Watch this quickly, because the longer I hold to it, the more I will justify its presence and defend it, and the more disastrous it'll be. You think about a child growing up in a home where mother and dad are fussing, fighting all the time. If you're happily married, you better thank God. Secondly, if you're thinking about being married, you better thank, T-H-I-N-K, to God. Because I see so much of this, and I see people hurting and hurting deeply, and especially kids who grew up in that kind of a situation. So the quicker you deal with it, the better. And one thing I'd make a suggestion, which is the next thing on my list here, that is take an emotional timeout. Stop and think now exactly what's going on. Is that what I thought they said, or is that what they said? Is that true, or is it not true? Did I get the real story, or did I not? God, how do you want me to respond to this? Now, I know that works. And I know it works because when I was president of the Southern Baptist Convention, and I had lots there, about, as I said, 49% against me, 51% for me. And so I had this big meeting of all the executive secretaries of all the Baptists in the whole United States. And so they had a right to ask me any question they want to ask me, and the cameras were there, and the reporters and so forth. And so I took a 4x6 card, and I wrote on it in big black letters, pause. And so I said it on my table right in front of myself, and I had it fixed so I could see it real good. And every time they'd ask me a question, I'd look at that. pause. And so I didn't answer it quickly. So they didn't catch me on anything. They tried their best. Now, if I had not had that there and I'd have responded quickly, they probably would have caught me on something. So it made me look real smart that I could answer every question very carefully. I knew the answers, but I could have gotten, you know, the way they come on at you, you can get a little angry, you get a little irritated. That's what they want to do. They want you to act in such a fashion they can say, see there? And so that's why you can't afford to act that way. So that little pause sign really helped me. Watch this. If you listen, say amen.
Amen.
You do not have to respond to everything people say about you. You don't have to. In other words, if they want to think something, they want to say something, let them say it. And when you and I know the truth, and God knows the truth, that's what matters. And sometimes people will fly off and say things that they shouldn't say or wish they hadn't. And so what difference does it make? If you're doing the right thing, you and God know about it. It doesn't make any difference what anybody else thinks. Ultimately, if you're doing the right thing and you're doing it in the right spirit, in the right way, then there's always going to be criticism. And so it's how we handle it. And what we're talking about here is how to handle it so that you don't get angry. You stop and you think about it. Remember what the Bible says? Quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger. Quick to listen to it, slow to speak, slow to anger. Because God doesn't want us living as angry people. We represent Him. And so the next thing I'd simply say is what He says in this passage, put it away. That's what He says in this passage. He says, be angry and yet do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger. Do not give the devil, for example, don't give him a place. And he's let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you. What do you mean put it away? By the power of the Holy Spirit who lives within you, He will enable you and empower you to say, God, I forgive them. I don't want that in my life anymore, Lord. It's hurt me. It's damaged me. It's hurt me deeply. And Lord, I lay it down. I lay down my anger toward that person. You say, well, suppose they do it again. You lay it down again. So remember that passage here in Ephesians 6? Put on the whole armor of God. And I have this little soldier that somebody sent me a long, long time ago, and it's a frame. I have it on the table beside my bed. So when I wake up in the morning, I'm reminded. And I put it on this way. I know the Bible says it another way, but I think this way. Put on the helmet of salvation to protect my thinking. Breastplate of righteousness to protect my emotions. The girdle of truth so that I'll know how to respond in truth. Feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, ready to share the gospel. The sword of the Spirit. And above all, taking the shield of faith. Now, that was not a round shield. That shield in the Greek is the same word for door, which meant it was one of those shields that could cover a person totally. And so what is he saying in that passage? He said to be properly dressed. Get dressed because you're going to be in a battle. If somebody says, well, but wait a minute now. If I don't retaliate, they're getting away with it. Don't you know God knows what they did? Nobody gets away with anything with Him. Listen, it's not in your hands and mine to retaliate and to be sure somebody gets punished for something. That only creates problems. We leave them to God. Let me tell you something. He knows how to really place the thorn where it belongs. Then likewise, replace it. In other words, we say, get rid of it and replace it. Let's say you get angry. I would say to a lady, your husband makes you angry about something and you just don't know what you're going to do and you're just having a fit. Go clean out that old closet that you've been avoiding to clean out for months. Get in there. You know what happens? You get in there with your hands and you're working. Or if you're a man, go wash your car. In other words, go play golf. Do something to get you out of that mode. You don't have to respond in bitterness and resentment and hostility and anger. You don't have to. Do something that's good. I can think of times that I've been angry years ago. I just go down to my dark room, close the door, nobody but me and God, and work a half a day or something developing my photos. And you know what? By the time I got out of that, you'd have thought I'd been in paradise. I was so relaxed. So everybody needs a hobby or something they can do. And what you're really doing is you're working out those emotions. You're getting rid of them. That's why we said deal with it quickly and don't let it harbor there. Because listen, watch this. You can't keep anger to yourself. You cannot. Then determine in your own mind you're going to benefit from it. In other words, if you hit one of those situations, don't let it go by. Just say, how can I benefit from this? Well, one way you can benefit from it is this. You say, well, Lord, just help me to be able to realize that when I'm angry, there's something wrong. If I'm angry, there's something wrong. So therefore, it's up to me to deal with that anger in my heart, no matter whether somebody else does or not. And then I can also profit from it by, if it makes me angry, get up and do something that's worthwhile. And then purpose in your heart that you'll prevent that from reoccurring again. You just won't let yourself get entangled in all that anger. In other words, you can make a decision, Lord, I don't want to be a person who wears their feelings on their sleeve. I want to be a person who demonstrates godliness, righteousness, love and kindness and peace and understanding and forgiveness and purpose in my heart to respond in that way. Now, you may be sitting here this morning thinking, he doesn't know my situation. No, I don't. But let me ask you a question. Name me a situation in which it is not right to do the things that I've talked about. You can't. Acknowledge it. Deal with it, lay it down, wash your hands of it. God will enable you to do that and walk on in your life, not allowing yourself. Listen, it's a form of suicide. You kill yourself a day at a time by allowing anger to conquer you in your life. People are angry at the church, angry at God, angry at their boss, angry at each other, angry at their family, angry at their finances, angry at this, angry at that. You know what they're doing? It's a self-destruct mode. You do not have to do that. Life is too precious. Your friend, your family, your friends are too precious. They need you in their life. And besides that, when you stand tall in the midst of difficulty, hardship, and pain, you bear an awesome witness to people who are struggling. You can become a strong, solid, life-changing witness when you're able to share with somebody that you see going through anger, and you say, let me tell you what I learned about that and how God worked in my life. You see, if you can help a person see that what they're doing to themselves is so disastrous, you've got their attention. As long as they think, well, it's okay. No, you're destroying yourself. And I've said that over and over and over again in this message for the simple reason that is exactly what happens. It's self-destruction. Well, you may not be a Christian and you're saying, well, how can I deal with that? You won't do very well at it. For the simple reason it takes Jesus and the power of God within you to be able to forgive and to enable yourself to walk away and strip away those things in your life that are destroying your life. It's not worth it. And if you're willing to ask him to forgive you of your sins and to cleanse you of the sin in your own life and tell him that you're receiving Christ Jesus as your personal Savior and the Lord and Master of your life, and that you want him in your life, you want the best life possible, and that's a life that he gives, if you're willing to ask him, he's willing to give it to you and to give you guidance in your life, and to help you overcome. You say, but I've got so much junk in my past, and so much trash in my past, and so much hurt, and so much failure in my past. When he went to the cross, he took your sin debt in full. He paid your sin debt in full. He's already taken care of all that. All you have to do is let him handle it, and he'll handle it. You don't have but two choices. You can be miserable the rest of your life, or you can have a peace that passes all understanding. But if you're angry, you've got to deal with it.
Thank you for listening to part two of Victory Over Anger. If you'd like to know more about Charles Stanley or In Touch Ministries, stop by intouch.org. This podcast is a presentation of In Touch Ministries, Atlanta, Georgia.